This has been California's worst wildfire year on record, with almost 1.7 million acres having been burned. The Camp Fire in the northern part of the state also has led to nearly 80 deaths to this point, but hundreds of people are still considered missing. Areas near the fire could get a break this week with rain in the forecast, but that precipitation could bring other complications with it. And joining me to talk about what has led to these destructive fires and made them worse this season is Pete Foulet of Northern Arizona University. Pete, let's start with the wind conditions that have spread the blazes in dramatic ways.
In many cases, the California landscape is affected by winds that are called Foehn winds. It's spelled F-O-E-H-N, and it comes from a German word. In the Pacific Northwest, these same kinds of winds are often called Chinook winds, which is a little easier to pronounce. These are winds that develop when there is high pressure in the interior of Western North America. A lot of times we think of the Great Basin, like Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Oregon. And winds, air is pushed from the interior, warm air is pushed from the interior outwards. And that outward direction, in the case of the West Coast, is winds that are coming from the east or the northeast. And as those winds drop in elevation, coming from higher elevations in the Great Basin, passing over mountain ranges, and then dropping down towards sea level, they get increasingly warmer and drier. And because these winds are driven by high pressure rather than by like daily cycles of sun heating and nighttime cooling, these winds, they're very warm, they're very dry, they're very strong, and they can blow day and night. And so that sets up an extremely difficult situation for controlling fire behavior.
Now, Pete, though, we don't have those particular winds you're talking about with California. When we've had intense wildfires here in Arizona, are there other certain weather conditions we have to watch out in particular because of where we are?
Our main wind issues have to do with strong winds, often associated with the passage of dry weather fronts that are not bringing moisture, but they are bringing strong winds with them, especially in May, June, early part of July, before the monsoons really set up. And these kinds of winds are also extremely strong. They can reach high wind speeds, in which case the Weather Service puts out a red flag warning. And if there is an ignition during a time when these strong winds are blowing, then that fire, if it has appropriate fuels, can become a very fast-moving and very severe fire.
Pete, there's a large number of people who would say that whether it's talking about California wildfires, whether it's talking when Arizona has an extreme fire, or anywhere around the country, the discussion of climate change's impact on that. Do you expect that we're going to see potentially more intense fire seasons, at least for the short term, as long as we stay in these intense drought conditions that the Southwest has been in for quite a while?
Yes, much of the Southwest has been in substantial drought for the last couple of decades. And sometimes there is a year or a somewhat longer period when it gets broken a bit in our region, but it has been quite dry in recent years. We also have strong evidence from weather stations across the western United States and directly here in the Southwest of warming temperatures in the last half century or so, particularly since the 1980s. And there's been some good work by researchers looking at the correlation between the occurrence of large fires across the whole western U.S. and warming temperatures since around 1985. So the combination of trends like that, the trends are not always in the direction of drier conditions in terms of the amount of precipitation. But even if you have the same amount of snow and rain in total, if it's warmer, then you're going to have more evaporation. So that leads to drier fuels as well. And then coupling these climate conditions with the fact that there are a lot of wildland fuels in forests and shrublands in the West and the Southwest, with the fact that there are a lot of structures in the wildland-urban interface and the need to try to protect human lives and property, it makes for a difficult situation. And it suggests that at least over the next period of some decades, we are likely to have a series of large, severe fires.
Hmm. There is potentially some forecasts for rain in the areas of California that have had these severe wildfires. There's always a concern that comes from flooding after that. When rain does arrive, How big an impact can that have? Because, of course, in Arizona, sometimes when we have the monsoon season, we eventually get to the rain, but it's after lightning and wind.
In the case of Arizona and the Southwest, we often have pretty strong thunderstorms in the monsoon season. And so when you have a thunderstorm releasing a lot of rain in a short time period, then that's often the trigger for a lot of erosion after a severe fire. Once the forest canopy is burned and the vegetation and litter material like leaves on the forest floor are consumed, then what's left behind is very exposed to that water. Here in the Flagstaff area, after the 2010 Schultz fire, there was unfortunately a tremendous amount of erosion after that fire with a lot of damage to properties down below. That fire was an example where the fire itself did not burn any structures, but the erosion and water damages after flooding after the fire took one life and damaged a lot of structures.
Pete Foulet is a professor in NAU's School of Forestry.